Hello, welcome to Imaginings. I'm Jeff Dunn, talking all things science, imaging, news, little bites of science aimed at imagining a better world. Concussion, stealing your mind. When I talk about diagnosis, it's important to consider the situation. If you're an athlete or a coach, you need to make quick decisions at the time. Do you pull yourself or your player? The bar to say yes to that is now much lower than it used to be, and for good reason. It isn't responsible anymore to think that getting back in the game is the goal at all costs. A brain injury isn't a cut or a scrape, and it may not even hurt that much, but the consequences of ignoring the problem are huge. A concussion is caused by the brain shaking inside the head. You or someone who saw the event needs to think about what you saw. Do they take a hit to the head or chest, or a fall? And if it's you, do you feel normal? If you don't, pull yourself. You don't have to have gone unconscious, but if you did, then definitely pull out. In 2012, a group of sport-related medical professionals got together to talk about how to manage concussion, and they came up with the consensus statement on concussion in sport, the fourth international conference on concussions held in Zurich. The British Journal of Sports Medicine felt this was so important that they hosted it on their website, and as a result, you can download it for free. Google British Journal of Sports Medicine Concussion Statement and look for McCrory, the first author. While you're at it, get the Pocket Concussion Assessment Tool and the Sport Concussion Assessment Tool, affectionately labeled the SCAT-3. There's also a SCAT-3 for children. But then what? Well, you have to be amazingly careful in the first 3 days. That's when rest is critical. Total rest, total cognitive rest. That's hard. How much TV and games can you do without? Well, as much as you can, really. Who should you go to check out a concussion? The best medical person, in my opinion, is the one who knows the most. This may be a doctor, but it might also be a physiotherapist. If you do a sport that you think might give you a concussion, you or your team may want to find a path to a medical professional before you get a concussion, just to organize the treatment plan and the treatment pipeline. So you're with someone who has taken a hit. They might not be thinking 100%. So how do you tell if you should go to emergency? There's no black and white on this. Get advice from a local if you can, a medical professional. If your symptoms start to get progressively worse, or if you're vomiting, you should definitely get checked out immediately. The main reason to go to emergency isn't to diagnose concussion, but it's to check for more severe problems. If there's any bleeding on the brain, you can be in serious trouble. To find out more, I spoke with Dr. Karen Barlow. She's an associate professor at the University of Calgary and the Alberta Children's Hospital. She's an expert in pediatric mild traumatic brain injury.
But basically, when children come in acutely with a concussion, they're seen in the emergency department and assessed there. And a physician will diagnose a concussion based on the history of the event and the symptoms that the person has experienced around the time of event. About 70 to 80% of children report an episode of confusion around the time. About 60% of children also report headaches. And around 50% of children report symptoms such as dizziness. So when we're assessing someone in the emergency department, we take a history that examines, well, what was the injury? How severe was the injury? Did they fall from a height greater than 6 feet? Or in mild traumatic brain injury, were they hit by a car? Were they traveling at 120k down a slope on a hill? Those are all high velocity or high impact injuries and would alert the physician to be extra vigilant during their assessment, because those kind of high velocity insults can be associated with more significant brain injuries.
I asked Dr. Barlow if they ever use a checklist of symptoms, things you might yourself look for.
If you use, for instance, a measure such as the SCAT-3 or the Child SCAT, then that contains a list of symptoms. Another way then is to assess them clinically. And when we're assessing them clinically, we're examining them, we're looking for whether the child's conscious or unconscious, whether they can form new memories. And then we will do a neurological examination, and this is to really check that the person doesn't have a more severe type of brain injury.
As an imaging scientist, I wondered when you would do imaging. If you go to emergency, do you automatically get an image? And if you don't, is there some problem with their care? Not really. But as you know, I'm an imaging scientist, so this is a pretty obvious question for me.
Times when we do imaging, or if there's a high energy impact injury, if there is a skull fracture, if there is any focal neurological signs, including asymmetrical pupils, or if they've been vomiting recurrently. I don't think in the future we will need to diagnose a concussion using imaging. So I think imaging can help us learn how to clinically diagnose a concussion better.
Trust your feelings. If you don't feel well, assume you have a concussion. It's safer that way. So you took it easy for a few days, you started to feel better or you didn't, but at what point should you actually go and see a doctor?
Although we traditionally thought that kids get better within a few days, and still many of them do, about 50% of children are still having symptoms by around a month post-injury. So even though that's a significant number, that's the time that we want people to go to the family doctor to get a referral to the concussion clinic. Because I think at that time, most people's symptoms are starting to resolve fairly rapidly. And if they're not, then you have a referral in the works to come up to see us in the children's hospital with the injury. And we'd like to see them if they're still symptomatic around 4 to 6 weeks following the injury.
There's something called post-concussion syndrome. If you have long-term symptoms, you may also have PCS.
At the moment in the literature, to have post-concussion syndrome, you have to have the presence of 3 or more symptoms for 3 or more months following the injury. And these need to be new symptoms. We just published a paper looking at this, and probably at 1 month post-injury, we have enough data to say they do have post-concussion syndrome if they have 3 or more symptoms at 1 month post-injury. If the structure of the body, in particular, we're also concerned about not just a brain injury, but a neck injury.
Let's keep that in mind, especially if you have long-term symptoms. I thank Dr. Barlow, and she responded in her normally cheery style.
You're welcome.
I focused on pediatrics because Dr. Barlow is one of my main collaborators. The recommendations are similar for adults in this case. In the next podcast, I'll talk more about treatment and concussion management. I hope you tune in. Thank you for listening. This podcast was brought to you from Closet Studios, Springbank, Alberta.